The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Last weekend, my daughter Haley and my grandson Ryder were here visiting from California. And I must admit, I have forgotten how life with a four-year-old can be. Ryder enjoys being in motion constantly, running and jumping and crawling around on the floor with his cars and toys. He likes to pretend he is the Hulk or Spider-Man or some other superhero by imitating their actions. He is curious and has lots of questions. He wants to hold the dog's leash, the water hose, the TV remote, and his own can of bubbly water himself. But what touches me the most as his grandmother are his feelings. He cries with big tears when he's hurt. He laughs out loud with joy at everything he finds funny or that delights him. He crumples to the ground in adamant resistance when he doesn't want to go on. And he voices his displeasure with a very sad face when things are not going his way. However, there are times when Ryder sits quietly with content. As we read a book together or watch a movie, he'll snuggle up a little closer as he sits in my lap. He'll proudly announce when all has gone well in the bathroom. While riding in the car, he'll reach out to hold his mommy's hand. He'll say, "I love you," as often as he wants to, and when least expected. At this age, Ryder emotes with complete abandon, and each moment with nothing held back. And sadly, I know this is not for much longer. Now, I'm not suggesting that a world of people with four-year-old emotions is sustainable or desirable. But something is lost when we grow up. You see, it doesn't take long as we are growing up before we learn the expectations of handling and even curbing our emotions. We don't cry out or throw ourselves to the ground when we don't get our way or are angry. We don't laugh out loud anymore at everything we think or hear or see as funny. We don't blurt out questions about or point to or stare at people. We learn to fight back our tears when we are physically are emotionally hurt. And we learn, most sad of all, that there is more at stake when saying, I love you, especially when it is not returned to us. We learn that our emotions are just that, ours. They are not for everyone to know or be on display, because it also doesn't take long for us to learn from the sting of rejection or embarrassment or ridicule when we do. As soon as that happens, the navigation of what's acceptable, what's polite, what's appropriate, and perhaps most of all, what's safe, begins. We become aware of the risk and vulnerability of sharing ourselves and our emotions. The self-consciousness we feel when we know we've revealed too much for others to take. We take on a level of restraint and reserve. I wonder what was going on in Mary's mind at that dinner party. As everyone is enjoying themselves around the table, did she have any thoughts about what the others would think of her? That her action might be revealing too much? If she did, she didn't let that stop her. Jesus is at their table. Jesus, the one who affirms her when she chooses to sit at his feet instead of helping her sister with dinner and the chores. Jesus, the one who wept with her at her brother's tomb and shared with her the pain of his death. Jesus, the one who raised her brother from the dead and promised her sister that he is the resurrection and the life. She knows it won't be long before Jesus is the one whose own life is taken because he loves and gives life with abandon. Mary seizes the moment, the opportunity to offer an act of love as only she could. The anointing of Jesus' feet with an extravagant amount of expensive perfume is her response to the extravagant love of God she receives in Jesus. We aren't told how the others present at the table react to Mary. Perhaps they were in shock upon seeing all that perfume pouring out onto Jesus' feet and on the floor. The overpowering fragrance filling the entire house. And then to watch Mary using her hair as the means of wiping his feet. I imagine everyone was silent, not sure what to think or say or do. Maybe even a bit uncomfortable at her display of intimacy. Unable to take their eyes off of her and Jesus. Everyone except Judas Iscariot. There are some that might agree with Judas. The poor are to be helped. Jesus has spent his ministry advocating for the poor and the marginalized. And we have heard in previous scripture, Jesus tell the rich young man who wanted to follow him to sell all he has and give it to the poor. Then he will be ready to follow him. But not this time. And John makes sure we know that the motives of Judas aren't what they seem. Jesus knows this too. Jesus defends Mary's actions. Leave her alone, he says to Judas. Leave her alone, because she understands what you don't. Leave her alone, because she knows who I am. Leave her alone, because she receives my love and loves me with all her heart, soul, mind, and body. Mary is holding nothing back. I'm challenged by Mary's act because of my own awareness of vulnerability and risk and restraint and reserve. All things in moderation. Keep calm and carry on. Do not make a scene. Consider the cost. Weigh the options. Think first. Be prudent, a good steward. Put something away for a rainy day. Wait until conditions are favorable. Have a backup plan, or maybe two. Do these sound familiar to you too? So the question for us, this fifth and final Sunday in Lent, could we do what Mary did? The answer to that question begins with recognizing what we are holding back and keeping from Jesus. The time is now. Jesus is at the table with us. We have the opportunity to seize this moment and to act with abandon, to respond to the extravagant love of God, to let go of any restraint, and show Jesus how we feel. We can bring out the pure, expensive perfume and pour it all out. Give ourselves completely. It will never be revealing too much. When we do, Jesus knows us and will recognize the depth of our love. He'll defend us as he did Mary and guide us. And when we do, we can trust that we are going to have a resurrection future with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who holds nothing back from us.